You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
You know, this is my first time being at like Mark Riley's place. Mark Riley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'm very interested in seeing more comedians coming out of there and kind of seeing that whole outlook of it. So, I don't know. Have you guys ever like seen any local, you know, talent from here?
Because
you guys into like a lot of the art stuff. So
yeah, they have a lot of regular stand-up shows that you could go any night and see something.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mark Riley's is like open.
Yeah, they're open.
A week.
Yeah, they're open all the time, and then they only are closed for special events. So like, yeah. If you have an actual big name comedian, they'll have.
I think
a closed
this last show for TJ, it said no online tickets. So I assume it was like either like a bringer show, not bringer show, but like a, you know, closed
first
thing.
Come first serve thing, or
no, like a closed thing, like only specific people got to come.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's this show was closed for a special event. Was how they had it listed online for Mark Riley's, but they do
like,
they do open mic nights and stuff too. So you could have any local comedian come in, and they can do an open mic there too. So.
Yeah. Well, I know people that come here at Podcast Detroit and stuff. Like, they, there's a couple comedians that do podcasts here, so they must be affiliated with it. I'm just like,
yeah, I'm sure they go in there.
You know, I always talk to. I mean, I don't. That doesn't make sense. I always listen to podcasts of these people on the East and like the West, and
yeah.
It's just like, man, what's going on in Detroit? You know, like what's going on here? And there is comedy here, and it's just sad that. We have people that do become stars, but they obviously move away.
Yeah.
And a lot of our, you know, favorite comedians just don't come around the way if we lived in California or New York.
Or New York, yeah.
That's the insane thing with, you know, when we were in New York, it was, wow, this show that we would pay $65, $80 to go see in Detroit is $15 at this tiny little club. We'd be seeing them in a, you know, 600 person, 2000 person venue and pay 10 times the amount, or, you know, not 10, five times the amount. We get to go see them in this tiny little hole in the wall for $15 a head. And, you know, you don't get that around here, but, you know, Mark Riley's is pretty cool about that. The Magic Bag we've gone to and seen a couple of comedians.
We've gone to the Magic Bag a couple times and doing like Token Lounge when you see someone like Doug
Stanhope
come
through
Token.
That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And that's great.
Yeah.
Like that's like those are rare gems.
Yeah.
But again, you only get those like once a year.
But I don't think normal comedians go to
Token
Lounge.
Like him,
a Stanhope place. Like,
that
for sure.
Seems like a thing that he would like, that it's like a dank place to go.
He wants to go to a place that's shut down because of a hepatitis infection.
Did you hear he's doing the Sober October thing?
Yeah, I heard that he was like thinking about it. I didn't hear he's actually in.
No, he is.
Oh my god.
Gordon and Joe Rogan, he is. And like, it's funny because
Joe said
like,
he had to go to a doctor to get checked out to make sure that he can live through it.
He live a month without alcohol.
It's like, it's more or less like he might have to drink a couple beers
just
to live on the level. Start
just
like,
to even you
on
out.
The treadmill instead of having a water, just like drink a Bud Light or whatever, like just to wean it off.
Yeah, you can't just go cold turkey.
Yeah, but that's hilarious. And
that's
where, you know, like, when we went to New York and all that, like, that's what you could see 24/7. Like, these guys that are just literally sitting outside.
Murders that are just so amazing at stand-up. And they're just in this little club that holds not even 100 people. And then you go somewhere like when we saw Bert and you see all those guys and Kyle Kinane and those guys. And you see them in the Fox and it's sold out.
You see music. You know, like musicians and shit. It's like, I mean, I don't mind doing that. Like, that was a lot of fun.
It's fun.
But,
yeah.
But there's what happened tonight was way different.
There's something different and intimate about being in a place that's smaller like that, where you can have someone do crowd work and have someone actually, like, make eye contact and be interactive with you versus seeing them at a giant place.
That's the point of a comedian, I think.
Like, yeah.
A comedian is not – in my idea – they don't have to do crowd work, but if they want to, they should be able to. And you can't do that in a theater. I mean, you can, but it looks so weird and dumb.
Yeah.
And it just makes it more crazy, because if someone in the crowd yelled at the comedian, I'm like, what? And then it's like, it just gets more just dramatic. And if it's in like, you know, where we just went and saw TJ Miller and stuff at the castle.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up. You know, like that's all you have to say. You don't have to be like, hey, you know, like it doesn't have to be this big ordeal. It's like you can make it part of your event. And it actually can make the night better because you're like, man, that bitch or that guy, you know, said something like that. Right. And like they called him out and they shut him down. Like, I mean, that's beautiful when you see that. Well, and like everyone's going to back up to it for sure. You know?
But like when we went and saw Chris Hardwick and like the last 20 minutes of his show was people lining up to take selfies with him.
Or
it's like,
sign a book.
I want to get the hell out of here. This is gross.
I did bring my book, so I'm one of those nerds. I didn't go in the line though.
Yeah. But like I understand like lining up outside, but he's like, oh, just pop up here and you have a selfie with me. It's like,
that was
kind of
stupid.
Go.
Yeah.
That was a good 20 or 30 minutes that you could have been doing something else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and in a place like this, they kind of like, you know, it's intimate and also kind of just like in and out, and you're, you know, you get what you came for and then you leave.
You don't worry
about the weirdness of having a big venue and loading all the people in and having people talk and interstitials and everything.
Well, and that's when we were at Bert Kreischer's thing and they had the guy come up, they called out those two seats because the guy was proposing to his girlfriend. And you have that crazy drunk bitch that's like, oh my God, that's my seat number.
That was pretty good, though.
Everybody's like, sit the fuck down, you crazy bitch. And then they had him come up and actually do the whole bit of like proposing to his girlfriend. But you have some drunk broad that wants the attention. So you just never know, like, you never know how something's going to go at a comedy show. Or, like, when we were in Austin at the comedy show and we're with a heckler, that is just, hecklers.
Yeah, crazy Amanda.
When you get the heckler in your crowd.
And she was, like losing her mind. And our buddy Derek Scooby was sitting next to her and she's, like, passing out. She's got three drinks in front of her and she's, like, passing out. And what – the dude on stage was
the guy
like,
didn't know who Alan Arkin was because he's like hot bald men, blah blah blah, hot bald men, and she's like Alan Arkin, and
he's like I don't know who that is.
She's like, what the fuck?
And Scooby's like, please
calm down,
shut the fuck
stop
up.
Booing.
And yeah, it got intense, and then finally she passed out, and then Scooby just grabs her drinks and gives one to me and one to Kate and takes the third one, and we're drinking it, and then she starts snoring, and he's like, please wake up.
Snoring loud enough that it was interrupting another comedian.
And I was
even
so
worse,
embarrassed.
Especially in like a comedy show, like you can't hear
it's
that.
Like, I would have been thankful to be in a theater for that because you would have never noticed
her snoring.
Yeah, then
you wouldn't have heard her, but that's
we're in this tiny little
Dan
place.
Dan and I are in a place that's about the size of Mark Ridley's. It was probably a 200-person comedy club. And we have Scooby with us, and Scooby likes stand-up, but I don't think he's as into it as like Dan.
He likes events, which is like why it's good to bring a person like that. Yeah. You know,
he's just down for whatever.
But he likes going to like something that you know, like
is different,
and like it's like, all right, this is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? And just all of us, the other four of us, are absolutely mortified by what's going on.
And I'm such a comedy stickler too, and I was like, I am dying inside. Like, and I could see Dan and Kate like the same, and Scooby's just kind of embarrassed, but like, this is my heart and soul. Like, I'm such a diehard stand-up comedy fan. I was like, I am going to strangle her until she stops snoring.
She was losing it. It was an intense night. Who do we even see? I can't even remember.
It was just a bunch of randos.
No, because there was a main act that we wanted specifically to see, and I can't think of who it was.
It might have been Dave Attell.
I feel like it was Dave Attell.
Yeah, it must have been.
But we saw him in Austin in that.
Or Dov Davidoff. But I think we went and saw Dov Davidoff when we were with Dan alone.
Man, Dov Davidoff is so funny.
I haven't heard him.
Oh really?
God.
Yeah, man.
You have to listen to him. He's such a lunatic.
My favorite, it's like not even a joke of his, but it's like an interstitial of his. He gets up on stage and he's like going crazy. It's on his like first comedy half hour. And he's like throws his jacket on the ground. And he looks at the crowd and he's like, what's your name? And the guy's like, Mike. And he's like, hey, Mike, you ever drop acid? And 30 minutes later, you're on stage doing comedy. It's so good. And that's exactly how he is. He's just
so random. I love this one. It's just an in-between kind of thing that he's not really talking about anything else. And he's like, My girlfriend's got a problem with yeast. And then he goes into another joke.
I mean, that's the best thing about comedy is like
he's very random.
You're hearing things that you're like, what?
Well, I think it's I think a lot of things that I love about comedians when they do stand up, it's something that you might think in your mind, but you really wouldn't say out loud.
Yeah. That like so half thought where you're just like, no, that's not a real thought. And then they just say it.
Or
and you're
I
like,
should
what the hell's
something
going on?
That is rude or perverse that you shouldn't say out loud, and they don't give a shit and they just say it. That's what
well,
I like.
I think that's why we all appreciate comedy.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're saying, because there are. You know, after seeing, like, especially tonight with, like, TJ Miller, like, he had that philosophy kind of bits in between.
Yeah. It's and, like nihilistic thing.
Yeah. And I like that because it doesn't mean you're smart.
Yeah.
That you know that shit, but it makes you feel fucking good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, all those comedians, especially all the people that I think we all like, I like hearing their side of the story.
Yeah.
That I'm like, yeah, I agree or I disagree. And I'm almost like I like hearing both sides, you know? Like I'm not going to be a part of 100% of a lot of people, but if they have something to say, it's okay, you know?
Well, it's the same thing, you know, being – there's two sides of the coin of like curiosity. You can be the like scientific curiosity where you like analyze and pick everything apart in a scientific way, or you can kind of, and you know, like analyze, you know, how this rock is made or something like that, or analyze how a person works, and that leads to comedy or psychology. But you know, they're the same kind of thought process. Is like, well, I see this weird thing and I'm going to mess around with it in my mind, and scientists take it to like the bedrock of how this actually works, and comedians take it to like the absurd, like what if this worked this other way, and kind of put a twist on it at the end. And it's the same kind of thing of like being interested in stuff and prying at it and picking it apart, analyzing it, and then presenting it. Just scientists present it in like the real, like how it actually is, and the comedians present it in the absurd. And that's kind of how he was talking. He's like, I'm an absurdist nihilist. Where he's like, I'm a nihilist and I don't give a shit about anything, but I'm an absurdist, so it's I do it in a funny way.
Well, I like that he said he's a nihilist with a smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was really cool seeing – and I think that's with a lot of comedians, you know. Some take a very stick route with like being political or like whatever they're trying to stand for, which is totally fine. Like that you can do that. And – then there's some that are very more loosey-goosey and like, you know, I mean like that's how they live their life and they actually make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which it's like it's smart because in today's age it's almost more intense to think about that. Like how do I construct my life about that and like be something like that than being like, you know, a businessman.
Yeah.
Or businesswoman, whatever you need to say now, but it's like
business person, right?
Yeah, business person, that's it. But it's just like one of those things that, you know, I always thought when I was a little kid, it's like being a musician or, you know, like being in a band, it's like that's crazy. Like, but like you have to have skill for that. I mean, you have to have skill for everything, but again, you have to have a talent. And then there's these comedians that, they literally have to do the least amount of work, but the most amount of work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Of thought of like of thinking through every single thing and obsessing over it.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the craft
it's
is
just
obsessing
a curiosity.
Over something that's random, that other people – shit that other people don't think about.
Take for
and that's
granted
how it ends
pass
up being
by.
Funny.
And don't want to say on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
It's scary, you know, to go up and say like – I believe in this. I do this.
Right.
I am this. Like, to say that in front, even in a coffee shop, in front of, like, two people.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're going to say that, and, like, that's your shtick? Good luck. And, again, like, the most successful people, especially comedian-wise, that's why they're millionaires. And
just
it's
lay it
crazy.
All out there.
You know, you got What's the one guy that likes trans?
Jim Norton?
Yeah, Jim Norton. Yeah.
That's, yeah. I loved, I think it was Adam Carolla was talking about, he's like, I was at a Jim Norton show and he had just done 90 minutes about, you know, banging, you know, hookers and all this craziness and paying people to watch him jerk off and everything like that. And then he's, Adam's saying he's backstage and these two like Midwestern older people come up, this couple comes up to him and they're like, oh, hey, you're Adam, right? He shakes their hands. Nice, nice to meet you. Who are you guys? We're Jim's parents. And he's like, oh my gosh, you just listened to that entire thing. And they're like, oh yeah, we always come to his show. It's like, Jesus.
There's someone that loves their kid.
And he's like, they were the sweetest, nicest people in the entire world. And their son just talked about paying transsexuals to have sex in front of him.
Yeah. But I mean, isn't that what you want? You know, you want to be your true self. And that's what we always try to do. And like, I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. It's like, you know, being so open, so hard.
That's, I liked, and TJ Miller put a good spin on it. He's saying he was stone of the bone, goes to get his wife something from the bathroom and comes back 25 minutes later without the thing from the bathroom. Yeah, and he's like, where were you for 25 minutes? Full disclosure, I was looking for the thing in the bathroom. I forgot what I was looking for, and I spent 20 minutes doing monster faces in the mirror.
That was really cool.
And it's like, that's putting a funny twist on like a legitimate, like, you know, like what could end up being an argument.
Yeah. I didn't put it that way. That's a very good, I guess I wasn't like, I just was in the moment for that. But I mean, that's hilarious. I mean, it was funny. I laughed. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love comedy in that sense, and I think you both can agree with me. It's like it makes you think about life. It makes you think about like how you can be. And it can go both ways, and there's going to be disagreements because there's obviously people that have their opinion that are really funny that say stuff that you have to be like, yeah, but I don't agree with that. Or I just don't think that's – you know, I don't think that's funny, but a lot of other people think it's funny. Right.
There's always going to be people in life that you don't agree with, and you can't take offense to anything in comedy, no matter what someone says. There's not a line to be drawn. That's the thing with comedy, that you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how it should be.
And it's weird because, you know, with comedy, it goes along the line of music. Mm-hmm. And. Mm-hmm. With music, there's genres, there's things, and like you know, it's like there's death metal. So it's like a death metal could sing a lullaby, but you're like, I'm not gonna like put that to my kid.
Yeah,
but like
unless you're Brian Posehn.
Yeah, right. But this whole death metal album could be about just like putting your kid to sleep, and it might not work.
You could definitely have nursery rhymes sung in a death metal.
For sure.
There definitely are.
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. And, you know, there's different philosophies in all genres of music, but some people kind of not think of it that way. They just are like, that's it. That's it.
This is what I like. And that's all that matters.
I think people have to realize this comedy that you have to find what you like. Just like any kind of music that you have, your person or style or band or whatever that you enjoy. So you find that comedian that you enjoy.
Yeah. And you don't need to tell people that because you don't enjoy it, that they shouldn't enjoy it. It's like, yeah, people like, you know, modern country music. I don't really enjoy it that much. But I'm not going to go and tell people,
they're not
like,
burning
hey, garbage
your,
music.
Yeah, they're not fucking your life up. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, that's okay. It's like
I'm not going to go break up all their Toby Keith CDs. It doesn't matter to me. Yeah. It's like, don't turn it on when I'm around and we're good.
Right.
Yeah, Toby Keith fans are not like, you know, stealing your cats.
It's like, as long as you don't mess up my Nirvana albums, we're good.
But yeah, I just like comedy in that sense of, especially in today's age, I just think people get so sensitive with a lot of stuff that these people are trying – they're trying to make you laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like it might get too raunchy, might get too political, might get too that, but it's like –
but I don't think there's such thing as too any
that's
of those
what
things.
I'm, like, I totally agree, and that's what I'm saying. It's like
– you're meant to find enjoyment out of how absurd it can be. It's not supposed to be offensive. That's, and it's not yeah. supposed to be abrasive. It's something that they I mean, want you to laugh to be, at something it's, ridiculous.
It's supposed to be in the sense that it's like holding up a mirror to society, yeah. like how old sci-fi – well, and you know, modern sci-fi too. It's like, well, we can't explicitly say, you know, this, that, or the other thing, especially back in like the 70s and 60s yeah. and everything like that. So we would – perturb it, and it's like, oh, there's an alien race where half of them are white and half right. of them are black, and we make a joke or make a position where you have to talk about these aliens being different, and that holds up a mirror to our society about our, you know, segregation or whatever.
Well, and people are and, racist, or
and you can't
have...
say about humans, but you say it about aliens, and right. it makes it somehow different. Right. So if you say it with a smile on your face in a comedy bit, it makes the serious absurd. And you can look at it in a different perspective and realize how absurd it actually is.
It's an introspective craft.
Yeah. And so like you can say crazy craft. You can say horrible, horrible things. Like, you know, nobody's actually making fun of things like, you know, 9/11 or something like that. But I remember distinctly Gilbert Gottfried went on stage the day after 9/11 happened and made a joke about it. Saying that he's like, oh, I was late for my flight or something like that. I don't remember his joke specifically, but he got kicked off the Affleck commercials for making this joke in a comedy club the day after 9/11. It's like if you can't laugh at yourself, you need to look in the mirror and figure something out because you're too serious about yourself.
Well, in times of like horrible situations like that, the best thing to rely on healing is
the
comedy.
Best medicine kind of thing.
Did you see The Big Sick?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
now,
God.
Kamau.
Oh, that was amazing.
What was the worst thing about 9/11?
Lost some of our best men.
lost two of our best men. I think that's what you said.
Right.
That's so good.
I'm like,
but that's something that comedy is healing, and I think so many people want to be offended by everything. So it's one of those that you want to take offense to something someone said, and it shouldn't matter in comedy. You should be able to do it.
It's also
you
a
want.
Good, you know, way to, you know, break the ice on a lot of like conversations, like, you know, when I'm teaching and everything like that. And I get up there and I see a bunch of like just blank stares
faces.
And people gazing off into nothing. I try to make like a joke and try to pull attention because it like breaks the ice a little bit.
You can reel people in.
Yeah. And it's hard to do effectively, but it's, you know, it's the. One of the best methods to get people's attention is make a joke about people dying.
Yeah, you're always going to go back to laughter. I mean, whatever you're talking about, if, you know, even this podcast is not going to be obviously on, you know, number one, whatever it may be, but it's just like, am I going to talk like, Yeah. Or am I going to, you know, try to be more exciting and try to get some, you know,
you
people.
Interesting
am I going to try to get people that are interested in things?
Yeah.
And you guys are talking about interesting things that you're appreciating. Like, I'm not asking you to talk about.
I like jokes.
Yeah, exactly. Good quote. That was a good quote. You know, yeah, we could talk about Kleenex all day, but that'd be a boring topic.
Kate would do a good 45 minutes on Kleenex.
And, yeah, I could burn through like a good clean hour on Kleenex talk.
All right, next time facial on Let's Hear It with Trainer.
On the Kleenex cast.
We're going to...
I like this quote that it's an Oscar Wilde quote, and he says that life is too important to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that everyone should think about, that... You only live for a very short time in the whole perspective of how long this planet has been around. So you can't be too serious all the time.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think about that all the time. Maybe too much because I'm like, yeah, you can't be too serious. So be too crazy. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, wait, now I need to be serious.
Right. You got to reel it in a little.
But now
they're closing the cell door. Damn, I should have reeled that one in a little bit.
This straitjacket's comfy.
That castle thing was really cool with like the opening of like how they brought out DJ and like all their guests and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the barn door.
Yeah.
I really like that. I
thought
like
that was cool.
The way they have it set up there.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
It's so, just something subtle that's interesting how they have their performers come out.
Yeah. But let's wrap this up. We're getting pretty late.
Are we rapping? Like R.A.P.?
Yeah. All right. What's your...
spit a rhyme.
Oh, you didn't bring your 3 minutes?
DJ Kate.
But yeah, we're going to wrap up today. we were kind of late on this podcast, and I mean, it was all good because we saw a great comedy show.
Yeah.
And thank you, Nick and Kate, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ray.
I'm so glad you got to be here and see the setup. Yeah. This is Podcast Detroit. Again, you can see all the stuff at trainerpodcast.com. That's, how do you spell my last name? TRAINOR
podcast.com.
How do you spell com?
How do you spell com?
Exactly. So, yeah, that we talked a lot of shit today. Do you have anything to wrap up with, Nick?
Go see live comedy.
Good answer.
Support the live art.
Kate, what do you got to say?
I don't know. Support, we said something about rides. Talking about shit. So I was going to say, next time you're at a Chinese restaurant, order a poo-poo platter.
And support the live arts. All right. We are out.